Hey there, it's Lacey J from Space Bear Media, the makers of Lost in My 40s. Did you know that you can go to spacebearmedia.com right now to access all our content, including our weekly video pre-shows where your hosts ponder ethical questions related to the week's episode and answer some fun questions just for, well, fun. Speaking of fun, if you have it, thanks to our content, please consider rating or reviewing Lost in My 40s on your favorite app or recommend us to a friend who loves Lost. Everybody, welcome back. It's Lost in My 40s, season 2, episode 22. It's the third to last episode in this fucking season. I cannot believe it. It's called 3 minutes. It's gonna be me and Michael today. But first, how's everybody doing?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Lovely.
Good.
Oh, wonderful. Derek.
Yay. Yeah. Benjamin, could you please remind us what our rankings look like before the last three episodes of this show? Of this season.
We had Mr. Echo still on top with 128 points. Jack, no longer Dr. Bronze. He's kind of Dr. Silver in this season. Right. He's holding strong in second place with 99 points. And we had Hurley. Oh.
Curly Booth and Lim, you know, the Three Stooges.
Yeah, you wise guy. Anyhow, Hurley in third place, taking over Kate's spot. At the bottom, we have a two-way race right now with Mr. Cooper at negative 62 and Charlie at negative 61. But we had Henry Gale fall out of the bottom three with Michael moving into the third spot with negative 48 points. And my guess is that his meteoric fall will probably continue.
I have a feeling it might. Let's get into why. I'm going to go ahead and give you 3 minutes, giggity. All right, man, this episode.
So cuddling and all, huh?
So general, yeah, generous.
All right, this episode starts in a flashback and it's a very special flashback because this is now the second time this season we're jumping back in time to see a character's island side quest. Remember, first we saw Claire, where the hell she was, and now we're getting Michael. So the flashback is 13 days ago on the island. We're back at the scene where Michael knocks Locke out in the armory to steal the guns and go after Walt. First, and this is new to us, he runs to the computer and types back and forth with Walt. Michael says he's coming now and wants to know where to go. Walt tells him, there's huge rocks with a big hole in the middle by the beach. You'll know it when you see it. Really? Okay. I mean, does
anytime somebody says you know it when you see it or you can't miss it, you're going to miss it.
It's like Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
All right, so Michael says he's on his way just as Jack can be heard discovering Locke in the armory. Again, we watch the same scene where Michael tells Jack he's going after Walt before locking them in the armory and taking off. Back to the present future. It's day 65, and we're outside the hatch with Michael, who is holding a small piece of paper in his hand. You can kind of see through the back of it and see that there are names of some of the originals on this piece of paper.
More lists.
Yes, more lists, exactly. So he sets it on fire, lets it drop to the ground, just as Jack comes out of the hatch and says they need to talk. So
Jack.
Yeah, you wish it was like we need to talk. Because I know what you did, asshole, but no.
And by talk, I mean I'm going to grab you by your hair and beat you senseless.
Wow.
And shoot you in the gut twice.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, so Anna and Libby's bodies are lying covered on like makeshift stretchers. Hurley, Jack, Sawyer, Kate, and Michael are standing in the hatch next to them. Michael wants to act fast, take all the guns, and leave right away with just the people that are in the hatch. And Jack doesn't think five people is enough since Michael saw 20. He says 20, but I think Michael actually said 22.
Yeah.
But 20 others at the camp. Michael and Jack, they kind of argue back and forth a little bit. It's getting increasingly more heated until Hurley jumps in and screams, "They're dead. Anna Lucia and Libby are dead. I mean, we haven't even buried them yet." And look on his face is heartbreaking.
Poor guy. So yeah, they didn't even throw a dude in there.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's how upset he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the arguing stops and Jack says that they'll bury Libby and Anna and leave for the others' camp in the morning. As they're carrying the bodies out of the hatch, Michael is standing and staring at a pool of Libby's blood on the floor. We go to flashback number two. It's still 13 days ago. Michael is running through the jungle after locking Jack and locking the armory. He stops to check his compass and comes across a man urinating in the tall grass. So Michael points the rifle at the peeing man, and the guy just looks right at him and says, "You're Walt's old man, aren't you?" Michael looks
stunned. You guys recognize this actor?
Mm-mm.
Well, no. I didn't until you told me this morning. Christy, did you recognize this actor?
No, but go ahead.
The second he turned around, all I could think of is, "My name is Buck, and I'm here to fuck."
I'm here to fuck. That's who he is from Kill Bill.
From Kill Bill. He's Buck. He was the one that was selling her while she was in a coma, too. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like the nurse that tries to rape her and then gets killed. It's Buck. Did you guys never see Kill Bill?
I don't think I have.
Holy shit.
A long time ago.
Holy shit.
All right.
Yeah. I'll have to watch
it. That's one of my favorites. All right. Well.
So great.
Yeah. So Buck, who likes to fuck. wait, where was I? Oh, right. So yeah. He is distracting Michael, essentially, while our bearded friend sneaks up behind him and snatches his rifle. Michael manages to run off, and he's, like, firing his pistol as he does that. And if you remember, from our point of view,
he was
earlier,
a very bad shot then.
Yes, but yeah. That was
13
when
days he got better.
Right, yeah. Well, but that was also, you know, it was when they were chasing him. They were trying to find him, and they heard the shots, right, and ran off. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the beard man throws like a long sort of strap that like wraps around Michael's legs and he yanks him down. It was pretty badass. And he says, "Bag him quick. His friends are right behind us," which is
bearded other. His character's name is Tom Friendly.
Oh, I know. I wasn't going to tell Derek that until it happened. But yeah,
sorry.
Is his actual
name. Oh, my God. I quit. I'm done. I'm out.
It's the weapon that you're calling a long strap. That's a bolo. You have two stones or weights on the end.
Oh, that's
apparently
they've
been there a long time, so he probably mastered the art of the bolo.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, I don't know when it happened, but I do remember when we first, it was probably the last episode of season one when we first meet Tom Friendly. On the boat when he takes Walt, and we'll have to go back and listen to the episode. But I kind of dropped a little bit of a hint in that, but let it go because I didn't think Christy or Ben heard me. But we were talking about how he was like a big, scared, bearded man, and I said, "Yeah, he doesn't look very friendly at all." And nobody heard it. I was like, "Let it go," because I didn't want to tell Derek. But yeah, so that is in there. That's me. I'm wondering if any listener ever picked up on it, but. Anyways, his name is Mr. Friendly, and we do get some good backstory on him. And let me tell you, it's not what you expect. Anyways, back to
is
this
that even
episode.
His beard?
Well, no, you know it's not his beard, right? Because Kate found it in the locker.
The costume, yep.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about his off-island life is not what you would expect. But in this episode, we're back to the present, and Michael is cleaning Libby's blood from the floor when Echo comes in. And Michael wants to know if they found Henry and asks Echo if he's a priest. And Echo says no to the first question and yes to the second. So Michael then wants to know if that means that Echo believes in hell. prompting Echo to tell a chilling story that goes as follows. I served in a small parish in England. Every Sunday after Mass, I would see a young boy waiting in the back of the church. And then one day, the boy confessed to me that he had beaten his dog to death with a shovel. He said that the dog had bitten his baby sister on the cheek and he needed to protect her. And he wanted to know whether he would go to hell for this. I told him that God would understand, that he would be forgiven as long as he was sorry. But the boy did not care about forgiveness. He was only afraid that if he did go to hell, that the dog would be there waiting for him.
Ooh.
Yeesh. And you wonder now why religion fucks people up so much.
Well, yeah. I don't wonder why.
Because of shit like that. A kid having to think of shit like that.
Yes, I know. Any child having to think of hell, that's
and you're
not okay.
You're taught that you're to die and burn an eternal hell fire if you don't do exactly what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
Because I went to a very strict Baptist private school from 7th to 9th grade, and man, they really even had me going for a little bit with all their shit.
Firing brimstone punishment bullshit.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would have the mark of the beast on our foreheads. It was barcodes and all this other crap.
Oh, my God.
They were the young earthers, too, or the earth is 6,000 years old.
So. Yeah, my ex-husband, my second husband, he was religious.
Thankfully,
to that
my
degree.
Brain took over, and I was like, oh, this doesn't make any fucking sense.
So, Michael is now alone in the jungle, and he's vomiting because he just murdered two people. And Jack walks up to ask if he's all right, and Michael tells him that they need to get Walt back. It's all Walt, and Jack needs to let him do it his way. He's like very
one-trick pony, Michael. One-trick pony.
His son.
All right, so he wants it done his way because it's his son, and he only wants the five people that were in the hatch to go on the journey. You, me, Kate, Sawyer, Hurley, that's it. That's what he tells him. Jack doesn't feel like arguing, so okay. You know, it's your son. We'll do it your way, whatever.
Wouldn't the fact that Hurley was included in that count immediately loop right. you in that like, something's going on here? Why the hell would Hurley would not be good?
Right, go on a quest. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is super poor planning. Michael is too emotional to be making these kinds of decisions right now. Jack should always stay at the camp. He's the only doctor, so he needs to stay safe. Plus, I love Hurley, but he's not going to be my first choice if I need to go infiltrate an enemy camp.
Or an attack in an enemy camp, yeah.
Yeah, if it's I had a target. I'd have Echo with me if I needed to, if I thought violence was going to happen.
And Saeed.
Echo and Saeed would be my first two choices.
Yeah. I think that's pretty obvious, which is, I mean, nobody else seems to notice it, but we will get to the point where Saeed is like, hello, suspicious. Now we are with Claire, and Claire. Aaron, and they're in their tent. They're in their tent when Charlie comes up. He says hello to Aaron and asks Claire if she's seen Echo. She tells him no, and he's trying his best and says, "You know, we're building a church." And she's like, she's like, "Is there something you want, Charlie?" And he then,
yes, I do. I just want 3 minutes.
He whips out a fucking briefcase full of vaccine, as they call it. It's labeled vaccine, nothing more specific than that. He tells her how to use it and that it's painless, and he knows that because he tested it on himself for safety. And then he tells her,
but she's a trumper and says, I don't believe in the vaccine.
Oh, God. Well, thank God Kate's not on the beach right now.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, no. He tells her that he feels fine, and so it's safe. I mean, he's given it to himself, a matter of hours ago? He's like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine. Whatever.
He's like, but my cousin's testicles got all weird.
Oh, my God. So he
and his brother became autistic.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Vaccines don't cause autism.
I know.
I know.
Why would you listen
to an ex-Playboy model? But anyways.
Oh, my God. So he sets down the case, and she thanks him, and she says that she needs to feed Aaron now. He tries his best.
I'll watch.
To reconcile. Mm-hmm. What's that, Ben?
He's like, I'll watch.
Yeah, watch your feet, Aaron. Yeah.
Oh my God. That is a child eating. That is not a sexual thing. So
I'm not looking at the child.
Can it be both?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Charlie's trying to reconcile with her, but she happens to see Michael walking down the beach, and she says, oh my God, Michael's back. Sun and Jin are also there, and she looks up, and I think, was it 2 weeks ago that Caleb gave us a Michael? His Michael. Was so much better.
Yeah. Micro, yeah.
Michael.
But we get one of those, and Jin sees his buddy and runs over and hugs him. Mm-hmm. She follows and does the same. And then she kind of looks a little bit further and notices Kate and Hurley are digging graves. And she asks, obviously, who are the dead bodies? Michael.
Did they just notice? How do they just notice that they're digging graves? Yeah. Like, they're already down to their knees and they're digging with these bamboo things.
They just started.
Yeah. Once again,
what are these people doing?
Part of the reason why she had to ask who the deceased were is because they've got them wrapped up in blankets.
Well, not that.
How many blankets do people
seriously
have to just fucking throw away?
Yeah,
I don't know. Obviously, yeah. Come from Hurley,
the place, same
them
place as the tarp oof farm and the torch yep farm.
Yep,
that's blanket right farm, but not the cobbler.
Right. Yeah,
I have a cobbler.
So Michael tells her that it's Anna Lucia and Libby. And when she asks what happened, he just straight up says they were murdered.
Yeah, by you.
Yeah, that's intense. We flash back again, number three, again to 13 days ago. And we see Alex sitting by a fire while Beard Man, who we now know is Mr. Friendly, brings Michael over and takes the hood off of his head. Michael spits in his face, and Mr. Friendly tells him that he won't hold that against him since he did take Walt, but he better not do that again.
That's right.
Another other, which is Buck, who likes to fuck, shows up with Kate, head in a hood. Beard Man whispers to Michael that he will never see Walt again if he makes a sound. So now we know that when Kate was being held there right before they did the light him up, fucking Michael was right there. They had him that entire time. Like, Jesus. So we watch then an edited version of that previous scene in the jungle. The originals lose their guns and, you know, in an attempt to save Kate. And then when it's over, instead of going with the originals, we follow Beard Man back to Alex and Michael, where he signals to Alex to take some sort of action. She looks at Michael, says sorry, and then knocks him unconscious with the butt of her gun. So yet another head injury.
They're so amazingly efficient at making people unconscious by hitting them in the head.
Yeah, just like getting hit and they're
all
out.
And these shows, it's just like, boink, and it's like, oh, you're unconscious. It's like a reset button for people.
It really is. And I really don't think it's that easy to knock someone unconscious.
That really fucking hurt.
Trust me, it's not.
Right. I mean, you got hit in the head like 47 times.
I got hit in
times
the back with a freaking 2x4 like a baseball bat. It did make brown out for a bit, but I was still conscious afterwards.
Wow.
That was like the fourth hit, so.
Jesus.
I know we've said it a million times, but zero shame stories. They beat me up and stole my car. That's Derek's episode. You can hear that whole story.
It's crazy.
Very.
Back on the island, it's present day again, and we're on the beach with Michael and Vincent. Jack and Sawyer can be seen getting the guns from Sawyer's tent. Sawyer then pulls out liquor bottles and offers them to Jack, and then inquires about what happened when he and Kate spent the night in the jungle playing a little three-hole, eh? Jack tells him they got caught in a net, and Sawyer thinks that that's the euphemism, I guess. And that's Jack he's had enough. He doesn't care. Walks away directly into the path of Saeed, who wants to know if it's true that Henry is gone. Jack confirms this is the truth, and then Sawyer spills the beans about the group heading out to get Walt. Jack tries to tell Saeed that he can't come because Michael only wants him, Sawyer, Kate, and Hurley. And Sawyer is having none of that. And he chimes in with, even though Pippi Longstocking and the damn great ape are ideal candidates for the Dirty Dozen, I'm just going to say we might want to bring the Red Beret again.
Red Berets.
Jack persists that it's Michael's call But Saeed disagrees, and Sawyer hands Saeed a gun. We then see Echo walking through the hatch. His cross is pulled from his chest toward the wall as he walks by the mysterious magnetic spot. The alarm starts to beep, so he goes to the computer and enters the numbers. Charlie comes in to complain that Echo has disappeared from their church project, and Echo tells him he had other work to do. Then he tells Charlie, go get my things and bring them here to the hatch. Charlie asks him, you moving in here? Fancy yourself a little bachelor pad? And Echo just very matter-of-factly explains that, nope, he's no longer building the church. He's supposed to do something else now. Charlie wants to know what he's supposed to do, and Echo fucking says, bring me my things. Damn. All right. So this pisses
maybe,
Charlie
maybe
off.
You can move here. Maybe move here, Charlie, and then we can actually have a two-man rotation on this thing finally.
Yeah. What else are you doing, hey. Hobbit?
There you go.
So he gets pissed off.
Well, he doesn't want to be a porter, you know? Apparently. He's like, screw you. I'm not going to go get your shit.
Nope.
Yeah. No. Tells him to get his own damn things.
I'll sell some copy machines, but I'm not doing that.
So he tells him to get his own damn things and says that he better hurry because clock's ticking. he points toward the clock and the timer flips to 107 minutes. Michael is putting supplies in his pack when Sawyer comes into the hatch to tell him that Captain Arab is in the cavalry. Not cool, Sawyer. But and the cavalry witch rides at sunset. Michael gets annoyed, and Sawyer says they should have the one guy who's been to war if they're going to be in a war. Michael kind of reluctantly agrees at this point because I don't think he knows what else to say.
Yeah.
And we get flashback number 4. It is now 11 days ago, and we see a group of others dressed kind of like jungle people, ripped in tattered clothes, and what they're all like shades of beige and green, you know?
And brown.
And brown.
And drab, yeah.
Right. So they're leading Michael, whose arms are tied behind his back, and they're walking through a camp. There's tents, lots of activity buzzing around. And there's this large stone wall in the distance with a door that leads to a hole in the ground. And there are two armed men guarding the entrance. The ocean can be seen from the camp, and some of the others are like walking around with fishing supplies. The other named Pickett, who is Buck who likes to fuck, stabs Michael in the arm muscle with a needle to get some blood.
That's not how you draw blood.
No, you can't draw blood from a muscle. No, it's not going to happen. But while he's doing this, a tall black woman with a very eerily calming sort of spooky voice walks up and introduces herself as Mrs. Clue and says that she has some questions.
I thought she said Mrs. Cleo at first when I first saw this episode.
Like the psychic? Like Cleo the psychic from the 80s? Yeah.
80s, man. That was like the early 2000s.
Mother Cleo.
Mother Cleo.
So she says she's got some questions about Walt, and she starts firing him off. She asks how old Walt was when he starts speaking. Michael doesn't know because, you know, he wasn't there. And she asks a few other kind of medical history type questions. Did he have any illnesses growing up, headaches, fainting spells? Again, it's one of these situations where Michael doesn't know anything about his son and he's getting embarrassed and angry. And then she basically says
exactly what Susan's lawyer had said during their hearing.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Putting him through those same questions.
Luckily, Walt is his son.
Yes. Yeah. My son.
So then she says something very curious, and she asks him if Walt has ever appeared in a place he wasn't supposed to be.
What?
Like, maybe ask Shannon about that one. So Michael, like, flips out and starts screaming that he wants to see Walt right away. And then she just, again, she has no reaction to him. She's just cool as a cucumber and says, for someone who wants his son back so badly, you don't seem to know much about him, Michael.
Exactly what Susan's lawyer said.
Right.
Yep.
So, Saeed is packing up his little war pack on the beach when Michael shows up. Saeed welcomes him back, and Michael tells him he is not going with them to the other camp because Michael is going for Walt and Saeed is going for Henry, so he's just going to get in the way. This argument actually manages to work, and Saeed acquiesces, wishes Michael good luck, and then as Michael leaves, you get one of these Saeed faces where he's cooking something up. Right, you can tell he's staring and like he's not buying Michael's story at this point, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Nope.
So poor little hobbit Charlie. He's building the church by himself, but he's very small and he can't handle the pole. Woo! That he's trying to lift into place.
Can handle and, the big poles like Echo can.
Yeah, exactly. So as he's putting one up, he's knocking another down. Bloody hell, he exclaims. And Vincent runs up and drops a heroin-filled Mary statue right at his
God
fucking feet.
It's amazing. It's like, dude, you just need to take a break. You just need to get yourself some relaxation.
Get your fix.
And Charlie yells at the dog, "Are you kidding me? Did someone put you up to this?" Vincent, like, runs off into Sawyer's tent, leading Charlie to the entire stash. And Charlie sees it and stares in, like, a what the fuck? Like, again?
Like, oh,
why can't I get away from this fucking heroin?
It's being tested over and over and over.
Right. So the scene changes then to Charlie standing on the shore, throwing the statues into the ocean, again, wasting drugs. Thank goodness Libby got hers before this happened.
Yeah, seriously.
He looks over, though, and he sees Locke watching him in his creepy way that Locke watches stare. Him. But he's watching him do, you know, what he had hoped.
What Locke
Charlie
has wanted him to do.
So, right, exactly.
Three things I noted on this scene. And one of them I noted in time as I was watching the scene. One, obviously, medicinal value, Charlie, Jesus Christ. Two, pretty sure that ceramics filled with heroin and air will float. Three.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Three, confirmed. If you look at one of the scenes where he's throwing them in there, there's one floating.
Oh, so, there is.
I didn't notice
you
that.
See it?
There
I
is.
Didn't see it either.
Yeah, I was watching it
the
on the big
TV.
I was watching it on the big
TV.
The
tide is just going to bring them right back.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know.
And Vincent will grab one and put it at his feet again.
Exactly.
That was pretty fucking funny, though.
Yeah.
He dropped it right at his feet. All right. So we are back in the hatch, in the Swan. Hatch original flavor. And Jack walks in and finds Echo at the computer. Tells him that they are burying Anna Lucia and Libby at sunset. And Echo says, "Thank you. I will mourn them in my own way." Which really felt like a very polite way of saying, fuck off.
Pretty much. That's what I got from it.
I mean, you're the priest. Shouldn't you be the one doing the funeral?
He's the button pusher now.
He's got more important work to do now.
Yeah. So,
And maybe, unlike Locke, he will push the goddamn button and not have a meltdown every fucking 2 days.
Yeah.
All right. So, Sawyer is also there in the hatch, and he's helping Jack prep the guns. He wants to know who is going to speak at the funeral. Jack thinks that Hurley might wish to say something about Libby. And Sawyer suddenly confesses that he and Anna also got caught in a net. And he didn't even know her name, is what he's lamenting, I guess. So Jack tells him that it was Cortez. And kind of questions why Sawyer
is telling me this?
Yeah, choosing to confide in him. And Sawyer says that Jack is the closest thing he has to a friend. Which is like,
that
one,
wow.
That he also says, because she's gone.
Yeah.
But the whole thing about you're the closest thing to a friend I got. I mean,
that's terrible.
They've been at odds with each other, you know, most of the time.
Yeah.
That says a lot, doesn't it? Well, then he immediately turns his focus to getting excited about the chance to possibly kill an other.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least you get to kill someone.
Yeah. Yep. So Hurley and Kate are digging the graves for Libby and Anna Lucia when Michael walks up and asks if Jack has filled them in on the plan.
No, we're digging the graves. We're not filling it in yet. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right. Let's put the bodies in, at least.
Kate's in, as always. Any adventure, she's up for it. And Hurley is not really into going on an adventure because that's not his deal. And Michael
too much walking.
Too much walking? Yeah. I mean, he doesn't.
To be fair, he went to the Black Rock.
It's true.
Oh, yeah. He did go to the Black Rock. Yeah. You're right.
And he went to go find Danielle so he could get a battery. He goes on adventures when he feels like it.
He even ran that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're right. This one. He doesn't want to go on.
Yeah.
Michael fucking yells at him, but they killed her. He's super agitated, and Kate is kind of not really understanding what is going on here and is trying to calm him down. And Hurley just says, you know, he's sorry about Walt, but he's not going. And Michael's like, you're sorry? And that's it.
That's my son!
I know, seriously.
And at this point in the episode, I'm thinking, why is no one else's spidey sense tingling here?
Yeah. Right. He's being so insistent about the specifics. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Right. But also, Michael calls Hurley Hugo, which is the name that's on the list.
Oh, right. Well, it's his name.
He called
him Hugo in this? I didn't even notice.
He generally doesn't call him Hugo. Yeah,
I didn't notice that. That's a good call. But, yeah.
Yeah. In this particular scene. He calls him Hugo.
Because usually it's Sawyer that calls him Hugo on occasion. Or some other.
Or Grape Ape.
Or some fat joke. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So I guess maybe he's trying to convey his seriousness by using his given name and not his nickname.
No, I think it's a Freudian slip because he knows what he's doing and he's thinking about the list. The name that was on there was
Hugo.
Oh,
because on the list it says Hugo. Oh, interesting. Yeah, that could be too. Yeah. All right. So we head into flashback number 5. It is 3 days ago now, and we're in the others' camp. It's nighttime. Michael is inside one of the tent shelters when Ms. Clue enters with his dinner. Michael wants to know, when they're going to kill him. And he's like, you know, I've seen your camp, and obviously you're not going to let me go. He says, you've been asking me questions I don't know the answers to for a week. I don't even think my son is alive. She tells him, not only is Walt alive, but he is standing right outside this tent.
What?
She also mentions that one of their people has been captured. They want him back, and if Michael helps, they'll let him and Walt go free.
Ah.
She then brings Walt into the tent. It's true. He's really there. And tells Michael they have 3 minutes. Michael asks Walt if he's been hurt. Walt says that they make him take tests. Ms. Clue chimes in to say he is not to talk about that. Walt asks about Vincent. Michael says that Vincent misses him and not to be scared because they're going to get out of there. And Walt then tells Michael that the others are pretending. Miss Clue immediately shuts that down, threatens to put Walt in the room again before dragging him out of the tent. As he's being dragged away, this was not 3 minutes, by the way, Walt begs Michael to help him, tells him that he loves him. Ms. Clue then tells Michael that after he releases their man, he needs to come back with 4 of the originals and only those 4. She writes the names down on a piece of paper, hands it to him, and says he will never see Walt again if he fails. He looks at the note and asks, who is James Ford? She tells him it's Sawyer and makes sure he knows the other names. Michael says that he does, and then they set him and Walt free, or he says, yes, he knows the names, and that when they set he and Walt free, he's taken the boat, too.
Damn right.
So back to the present.
Yeah, I mean, being set free just on the island, you know, what good's that going to get you? Yeah, I want the boat.
I mean, yeah, obviously, that's some good thinking. I think the rest of his thinking in this episode is pretty fucking poor, but yeah, at least he thought
like,
of the boat.
They're like, actually, we can't do that because when Walt first got here, he burned the boat.
Yeah.
Wrong boat.
We let him go out for recess one day, and he burned down our boats.
No, he just burned their boats. In
oh, he burned their boats too. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Walt's just a boat burner, fire bug.
All right, so we're back to the present, and people are gathering at the beach for the double funeral. Locke is sitting a little bit away on the beach, and he cuts loose the splint from his leg early, as Rose knew would happen, right? Grabs his pack and just walks away. Jack and Saeed
And leaves the damn crutches just in the sand.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Like, you that could put really them back. Somebody else is going to need them useless. At some point.
Yeah, he just feels so useless now.
Poor Locke.
Yeah.
Yep.
Poor Locke. So, Jack and Saeed are walking together toward the graves, and Jack tells Saeed that he was on 8:15 traveling back to LA to bury his dad. Saeed is sorry for that, of course, and Jack says it feels like a long time ago, and he was planning on going directly from the airport to the cemetery, and he'd had nothing prepared to say. And Saeed's response to all of this is, I think Michael has been compromised.
Boom.
Boom, indeed.
I love
Jack,
it.
Yep, finally obviously questions some sense on that island.
Some sense, yeah. Seriously. So, Jack questions why. Like, why would you think that? And so Saeed has to tell him all the obvious things that we've all fucking noticed. He's acting like he's lying. And he says that he's pretty sure Michael freed Henry and is leading them into a trap. Jack tries to brush it off, but Saeed points out that he was the one who knew from the start Henry was an other. And Jack kind of wants to talk to Michael about it, right? But Saeed is like, absolutely not. In order to keep the upper hand, he cannot know that we are onto him. They need to stay quiet and figure out how to best him.
Ooh. Just tell him that Walt is not his son. He'll go crazy.
Well, or you could just like probably point and look and go, Whoa! Look, there he is. And he just take off. So everyone is gathered around the funeral, and Jack is speaking about Anna Lucia kind of awkwardly. And then he says that she was a cop. She did the best she could. She was a woman of few words. So he was going to keep it short as well.
Good job, Jack.
Sweet. I mean, it was a sweet thing for him to do, because who else was going to talk about Anna Lucia?
She could suck start a leaf blower.
Yep. Suck chrome off trailer hitch.
Oh, my God. So then Hurley steps forward and gets dust in Derek's eye and says, Libby was a psychologist or psychiatrist, one of those. Either way, she probably helped a lot of people. She helped me. She was my friend. It's not fair that this happened to her. It's not. And then he looks at Michael and adds, I'm going with you. Goodbye, Libby.
Of course he has to go.
So, Claire reaches out for Charlie's hand.
What?
There's a little bit of reconciliation happening here. Son squints, like kind of looks off into the distance over the water, and then she says, boat! Boat! And for a brief moment, a sailboat can be seen coming toward the shore.
What?
That's the lost title screen.
Wow.
The end of the episode, and we've only got two left, baby, you know, in this season.
Man, what an ending there, just out of the blue.
Bam, bam, bam. 1, 2, 3, yeah. Right? Michael goes on a murder spree, and then last week Libby dies, and then fucking this week the boat. It's It's a lot leading up to the last two. Like
the main hatch too, and all this. Yeah. So a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, you're calling it the main kind of by default, right? So if you're calling it the main, that means you sort of believe the story that they're observing an experiment, right?
How do you know? That's why I call it, because.
Well, how do you know they're not part of the experiment?
Maybe they're not being watched.
Right.
It could be. Mm. And that's, you don't have to know that. You just have to do what, it's just like the orientation said.
Right.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
So, I got some fun facts today.
Is it about boats?
It's not. It's not about boats. So,
is it about butt?
It's not about butts? Buck who's here to fuck. No. So, Sawyer has the line earlier. Even though Pippi Longstocking and the damn grape ape are ideal candidates for the Dirty Dozen, I'm just going to say we might want to bring the Red Beret. Today, we're going to talk about who are the Dirty Dozen. Why is that a good reference?
I Googled
for
Red
this
Beret.
Mission? Oh, did you thought that's where
Red
I was
Beret
going?
Was.
Yeah. No.
So, the Dirty Dozen is a 1967 war film about Project Amnesty, a top secret mission to train some of the Army's worst prisoners, turn them into commandos, and send them on a suicide mission just before D-Day. The target is a chateau where dozens of high-ranking German officers will be eliminated in order to disrupt the chain of command of the Wehrmacht in northern France before the Allied invasion. In the movie,
Many of whom in real life were the ones that had planned to kill Hitler and had almost succeeded in the Hitler's assassination plot. It was mostly the high command in Paris. Nazi
but of course, the Allies
didn't
know that that's what was happening.
That son of a bitch, right? They couldn't kill him.
Yep.
So in the film, any prisoners who survive the mission will receive pardons for their crimes. The film is fictional. However, the screenplay is based on a 1965 bestseller by E.M. Nathanson, which was inspired by a real-life World War II unit of behind-the-lines demolition specialists from the 101st Airborne Division named the Filthy 13. Their unit within the 101st Airborne was called the 506th Parachute Infantry Regiment of the 101st Airborne Division. So on D-Day, the Filthy 13 parachuted into France to take over a bridge over the Douve River. It was a mission that would cost most of them their lives, is what they were told. Tales of the unit's sort of exploits would come out in the Stars and Stripes military newspaper. And one particular photo that was published of these Filthy 13 sort of led to the idea of the Dirty Dozen movie, not because the unit's members were convicts like the characters, but because they had a reputation for brawling, drinking, and spending time in the stockade. A private first class from the Filthy 13 was quoted as saying, "We weren't murderers or anything. We just didn't do everything we were supposed to do in some ways and did a whole lot more than they wanted us to do in other ways. We were always in trouble." This same person said after watching the film The Dirty Dozen that about 30% of it was true for the Filthy 13, but the part that was absolutely true, if you want to go watch the movie, is the scene where they actually do capture German officers. And that is who the Dirty Dozen is, and I thought it was interesting because they are, you know, it's all about going on a suicide mission, and where are our survivors headed next week? Let's hope it's not a suicide mission. Ben, what were your best and worst moments this week?
My favorite moment was after Jack tells Saeed his whole story of woe of me flying back to bury his father, when Saeed just says, "I think Michael has been compromised." Yeah. I love it. I love how he just cuts right through, and it's just like, boom, just like, yay.
Yeah, sorry about your dad, man, but you know what?
Yeah, Saeed's back. Yeah. Saeed is back.
We're here on the island, and this is what's happening. Yeah.
My least favorite scene was with when Hurley is standing basically in Libby's grave with Michael egging him on about not wanting to go on the commando mission.
Yeah, that was pretty cringe.
Yeah, yep. Agreed. Ben, I had the same best moment as you, actually. But my worst moment was, it's hard, it's not so much a moment in a in the show specifically, but it's more of the idea that Michael decides to betray the originals. Like, he could go back there and say, this is what they're telling me, and we have to find a way to get Walt. And, like, he doesn't have to do what he did. And I'm very just upset.
He's so focused on Walt, and he doesn't want to make a mistake, I guess.
I get it. I mean, I understand what he's thinking. It's just, for me, the worst part is that he's not making a different decision. And that really upsets me. So, I don't know. What about you, Derek? What were your best and worst?
My best was, you know, Hurley's eulogy about Libby, and then the arrival of the boat.
Oh, just
something else on the island.
Something else.
It probably wasn't like a worst moment, but it was the stupidest moment was Charlie throwing the statues into the ocean.
Stupidest. Why? Yeah. Should we add that?
Like Ben said, they're going to float. They're going to come back. I mean, Vince is going to retrieve them.
In season three, we can add a best moment, worst moment, and stupidest moment.
Yeah, we could do that.
Maybe that was the point. He knew Locke was there looking at him, so he's like, "Ooh, I'm going to make this this symbolic
dramatic
gesture. I'm throwing
Locke,
this stuff away,
I'm over it,
knowing after dark he creeps
knows
back
there's
onto
like
the
200
beach.
And 260 of them out in the jungle. So
right.
Various places.
Oh, yeah. So that's you being done. Hi, Christy. What are your best and worst?
My best moment was boat. I just loved that. I remember watching it the first time and seeing that. And I was like, what the fuck? That's how you end the show? I have to wait another week?
I'm actually have to wait a couple of weeks, but yeah.
And my worst moment, not necessarily a worst moment, but almost a heartbreaking moment for me was when Walt was yelling to Michael, I love you, you know, because they've had such a tumultuous relationship, and it's really only been, it's been less than 3 months that they've known each other.
Right.
And they've been through so much. So,
because that was like day 54-ish or so, you know, when that happened.
Yeah. Right. So, like, I'm going to go right into my favorite characters, because you guys kept talking about how poorly you saw Michael, and I have Saeed as my top character for being the only one with Spidey senses, but I have Michael as being my second top character.
Interesting.
And the reason for that is that he is willing to do anything to get his son back. You know, it sucks that he's going to betray all of these people, but again, he's only known all of these people for less than 2 months. He just, you know, he's a parent.
I don't know what I would do. I get it. I understand
him,
the motivation.
He could have done it a different way.
That's my thing. It's like, why? Agreed. Why did he? Yeah.
He's just following their orders, you know?
Yeah.
Right. It's like he trusts them more than the people that he's spent all this time with. And I don't know. It bugs me.
Because how does he know that they're going to give Walt back?
I mean, he doesn't. Right. He's being ruled exclusively by fear.
Yeah, I think it's making him reckless. Yeah.
Yes.
It usually does.
What about your worst characters?
And then on the bottom, I just have the others.
Okay.
For putting everybody into this situation. I'm fucking Saeed, because he's the man on this episode.
Yeah.
And I'm going to kill the others.
Okay.
So
I had Saeed as number one. I had Hurley as number two and Echo as number three this week. Saeed, obviously, the man. Hurley, just the stuff he said about Libby, and I get it. I mean, he's going on the mission now. I don't want him to go because I'm afraid it's a suicide mission. But he's trying to do the right thing and avenge his budding love. Echo's in third because I'm enjoying his determination. And also the way he spoke to Charlie was hilarious. I had Michael as the worst simply because, like, I understand what you're saying, Christy, and his willingness. But it's like he straight up stone cold murdered somebody to accomplish it. And I just can't. I know that didn't happen this episode, but now watching his story and realizing, what I didn't do is I didn't kill Michael this week. I only put him in my top. I didn't kill anybody or I only put him in my bottom, I'm sorry. But I just didn't kill him, and that was like, that's where I felt like I was being merciful for his motivations. I put Ms. Clue there in the second because she's obviously fucking with Walt, putting him in the room, making him do tests. What the hell is that about? Much like Christy did last week, this week Hurley is going to be banged by me because he needs it. Aww. Getting some more of that grief sex. Ben, what are your rankings?
Best, Saeed. Second best, Hurley. Third best, Sawyer, actually.
Oh.
Despite all of his, you know, shenanigans or whatever, he's standing up, right? He doesn't really have to do any of this, but he's standing up. In my worst, I'm only going to do this one more time. This is the last time, but my worst is,
Michael
in first, second and third. Yeah. Yeah. I want him in the bottom of the barrel.
You're going to get it.
Yeah. I certainly hope so. I am going to fuck Sun because I feel like I've just been in Anna Lucia for like the entire season.
Oh my God.
Likely Sun.
At this point, it's probably a little not cool to do that anymore. So yeah, Sun. She brings boat.
Yeah, she
brings
hope. By now.
Yeah, and I'm gonna kill Michael.
Okay, well, he might be in the bottom then. Derek, tell me about your rankings.
Best is Saeed, of course, because he's the only one with some sense on that island right now. Second is Hurley, just I feel sorry for him and you know what he's done with the eulogy and all that. Third is Jack. The worst. I was going to put Michael at first, but I'm like, I'm going to put the person who set Michael on this path of murder, which is Miss Clue. So,
okay. Yeah. So we both had worst. Her. Yeah. Oh, I had her in second. Okay. So you blame her more than Michael even.
Well, yeah, because she's the one who basically gave him the ultimatum saying, hey, if you don't do this, we're going to kill your boy or you're never going to see your son again, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and he's just acting in fear. That's why he's still in second worst. I didn't have a third. I'm going to fuck Kate again because she, you know, just Kate. I'm going to kill Miss Clue.
All right. Hmm. So you're mad at her. Okay.
Yep.
Ben, can you update us on the rankings? Did you do it? Did you drive Michael into the bottom spot?
We'll just have to see about that. We'll start with the top of the rankings, which haven't changed much. Mr. Echo with 129 points. Jack in second place with 105. Hurley, a strong showing in third place with 92. A lot of that being pity, but, you know, however you got to get there. At the bottom of the barrel, we have a new bottom dweller leader, Michael. At negative 69 points, dude.
What? All right, dude. 69, dude.
Nice.
And awesome. Second place is now Mr. Cooper. And Charlie is in third place with negative 61. He earned back. He earned back no goodwill with his gestures towards Claire. Like it didn't even. He hasn't.
It
moved
didn't
at all.
Register. There was too much else going on in
too
this
much
episode
other stuff
for
going
that.
On.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you did it, Ben. Congrats. We've got two episodes left. See if anybody can overtake Echo or Michael. This will be interesting. How about Christy? Could you please tell me what your final impressions are?
I'm just so excited to be at this place in the show. I can't wait to watch the next two episodes because although, I have some small recollection of what happens next. It's only a very small recollection. So,
I'm super excited. These next two episodes are so fucking good. Is that all? That's your impression? Get me to next week.
Yep.
All right. Ben, what about you?
Oh, I like this episode. The whole thing with Michael, I can't help but feel like Can somebody else notice what's going on here? Can somebody else notice how fucking odd he is acting?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
So, like most things with Michael, it's sort of love-hate. Like, the episodes that he's in are always great, but I can't stand him, and I can't stand him now. Like, I understand, you know, like, what you were saying, Christy. Like, you know, he's showing that he will do anything for his son, but at the same time, he's also showing a... a selfishness within that, that he's unwilling to maybe think that these other people could help him, that the people that have helped him in the past would be able to help him with this. He's completely sure. being ruled by his own fear, which is making him make dumb decisions. But I do, it's nice to actually, okay, he's back. We understand what's been going on now. So it kind of ties up this most of the season where he hasn't really been here. It sets up sort of this pitched situation where we've got, you know, most of our major characters going into an unknown situation. And then at the very end of all of that, to have a boat show up. It's cool. It's cool. It's setting up the end of the season really well. So I'm looking forward to the next couple episodes as well.
So I wrote down in my final impressions, holy fuck, what does Walt mean by they're pretending?
Yes.
Again, another fucking nugget of, wait, what? You know, with Henry, it's, oh, he's going to be mad. And now it's they're pretending. And I'm just like, what? Is anyone hearing this? What's happening here? So that's my main takeaway, sort of final impression from this episode is like, are we really seeing the truth about the others? I'm not believing it at this point. Obviously, I know the answer to this, but if I'm watching it for the first time, that's where my ears go to Walt saying that, like, what the fuck does that mean? I thought this was a good episode. I like the flashbacks that are on the island. I think that was cool that we got that twice this season. And
they call those like flash sideways or something.
Oh, no. You're going to have to wait till like season those five are something different. For that. Yeah. You got to wait a few years. We'll get into that. yes.
Are there flash forwards too?
Well, do you want me to answer that question?
No. Flashing, you know?
So for me, that's my biggest takeaway. I'm left with my jaw on the floor, wondering if I'm going to get any answers to that by the end of this season. And overall, great episode. You're right, Ben. Like, the Michael episodes tend to be interesting and they kind of further the plot, but they also typically make us really angry at Michael. Yes. All right. Derek, what are your final impressions and what questions do you have heading into the finale of season two?
Yeah, I really liked this episode as well because we, you know, finally learned why, which that was my question two episodes ago. And my theory was that the others probably caused Michael to do this.
Yeah, you saw that. You saw through that pretty quickly. Yeah.
But yeah, whenever, you know, Walt was in there and talking about pretending, you know, what are they pretending? We find out, we meet this Miss Clue, whoever she is, and she wants something with Walt because she had all those questions. We don't know what.
Right.
So that's some of my questions. But my biggest question is, who is on the boat and where did it come from?
Whew. All right, guys, listen, next week, we are going to end season two. What the fuck? How did this happen so fast? Two-part ending, Live Together, Die Alone, parts one and two. They're both going to be coming from Derek. He starts and ends every season of this show. And we've got our special episode of Theories and Questions that was really fun that we did after season one. So we're going to do that again. And I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we are going to add in some conversation about the book Bad Twin, which is the manuscript that Sawyer was reading a few episodes ago from a dead passenger. And the book is published posthumously. And it is just part of the, lost lore that was also out and around at the time of the show. So we will get some other answers and some shocking reveals next week. Live Together, Die Alone, parts one and two, special episode Theories and Questions. We will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Lost in My 40s is a Space Bear Media production. Executive produced and edited by me, Lacey J. Sound engineering, editing, and original music by Benjamin Trim. Like and follow Lost in My 40s on Facebook to interact with your hosts. Plus, follow Space Bear Media on YouTube to watch our episode pre-shows. You can also find us at SpaceBear_Media on Instagram and Twitter. Or come to our website, spacebearmedia.com.